ça Haïti yo ciblé comme ça.
Question ça que je viens de dire, j'étais venu hier soir à l'université de Californie, c'est ça? Mm-hmm. Et quand étudiant te posé la même question ça.
Your question really may was similar to the question that one of the students
Let
asked me yesterday at that
I'm sorry
at San Francisco State University.
C'est comme si vous étiez dans la classe et que vous étiez dans la classe et que vous posez une question encore.
It's as if you were right there and asking this the question.
Et papa nous pose une question pour qui ça s'est
dit.
Mais nous grand pile façon
de dire.
Et tout d'abord, Haïti a payé en dette
qu'il n'a
pas prêté pour nommer personne.
C'est dette
parce qu'il te levait tête qui vous dit un. Mais c'est pour
nous qu'il lève. The attributes of a medium to the artist, we must then deny him the state of conscience. With pure
Preface.
Intuition and cannot be
9 o'clock Monday morning and I awake to the sounds of my alarm clock. I couldn't be happier. It's the beginning of another trading week. I roll out of bed, commute into the next room, and turn on my computer. The work week has begun. But this isn't your typical 9-to-5 job. There's no office to go to.
Java ujavi juvata ujuvata imi iwajimi iwaja ali lama lami lami va lami va uvu uvivata uvita butaja uvutaja iji ishami wishama ama mi ma va ma vi ma vila utu utitaja utaji tujava utujava imi ima wiji ima wa ava viva la vali vali ma vali ma uju uji java uja viju vata uju vata iwi iwashimi iwaja ala li lama lami lami va lami va uju uvi vata uvi ta vutaja uvi taja ishi ishami wi ishama ama ima
ama And then I would do the showers, and then I knew, after about a couple hours or an hour and a half or so, actually about an hour and a half, you know, from the moment that especially started, I'd know what I wanted to do that day. And I liked working that way.
When man wants to be certain of his existence, when he therefore listens intently for the meaning of his life, and life in general, and when he thus feels the presence of something lasting, of some reality beneath the surface, then he experiences...
Delivering these energies to these plates. So you can imagine that maybe the top plate goes bang, and then the plate on the bottom on the right goes bang, and then one up here on the upper left-hand side and the right-hand side. So you get this pattern of energy, this field pattern going all around, and you're in the center of it.
Different freedom is right, here we go. Get this straight. Sex is everywhere, okay? It is all around us. It's not some distant destination. It's not Everest. It is right here.
Of energy. We're not talking about a capacitor charge of a few microfarads or farads. We're talking more megafarad charges. We're talking literally millions of volts of electricity moving through here.
You have to attune yourself to it. You have to bring yourself into alignment. You have to find the zone.
He experiences the mystery. He becomes conscious that he was created, brought into being, conscious of an undetectable and at the same time protective power. He experiences that which embraces him and all else.
And the style is very basically Parker Roland. Parker liked Roland, what Roland was doing. May not have been conscious that Roland was doing this, but in presumably blind tasting, or whether he was blind or not. He liked the wine. But I say, this is a real problem. To what extent does individuality fly out of the window? I mean, I think I'd rather have an individual wine which is maybe not up to scratch, rather than a wine which is made in a globally acceptable style and rather innocuous.
Okay, do that, and I promise you, a whole world will open up.
Creating a huge electrostatic field in a pattern, and this pattern, of course, is increased or decreased on top of the plates discharging and charging all around the entire circumference of the vehicle.
I'm going to entertain you a little bit, Phil. I start to do a very slow, sensual striptease.
Look at me. I walk around in a state of total receptivity. I'm like a fucking lightning rod.
All right, fine. So what do I do?
Moses, the arms of eternity.
Let's get rid of that little meditation, the blue triangle. We don't block things out, Nicholas. We let them in.
Yeah.
But what is?
There are millions of women in this city, Nick. Millions. Most of them are blessedly unaware of the countless ways in which their bodies are exposed to our eyes.
His masculine diethylamide, which is it's a hallucinogen like LSD.
Right.
And real mescaline, when they isolate it, if you don't keep it on dry ice, it deteriorates when it hits the air.
Au-dessus de la tête de Becky.
Ouais, les premiers, les premiers creux où il y a changement de couleur des vignes, vous voyez là. Et il y a un chemin et c'est les premiers creux qui commencent au-dessus de ce chemin.
Il y a plus de fer, il y a moins de fertilité, c'est plus pauvre comme sol.
Et ça a quoi comme effet sur le raisin ?
La vigne, elle doit pousser dans un sol pauvre. Si elle est trop belle, si elle est trop verte, si elle a trop de puissance, le raisin est trop gros, il est trop riche et il ne donne pas un grand vin. Le raisin est alimenté par le sol, par la racine. Donc si vous avez une racine qui est superficielle, le vin n'a pas la même richesse que si la racine descend très loin. Hein, c'est un fait.
Et les racines pêchent.
Ah oui.
Et le plus bas et le plus profond, la racine, le plus qui va pêcher de la nourriture.
In this theater, about the year 55, an excited crowd gathered to protest the spread of the new sect. A man named Demetrius stood before them, a jeweler who built statues to the goddess Artemis. Fearing that the new religion would destroy his livelihood, he called upon his audience to attack the Nazarenes. There was a near riot, put down finally by government officials. Paul was forced to leave the city. He may have gone, but he left behind a Nazarene sect, firmly rooted in the Greek-speaking world of Asia Minor and the Aegean.
T.S. Eliot, in his essay on tradition and individual talent, writes, "The more perfect the artist, the more completely separate in him will be the man who suffers and the mind which creates. The more perfectly will the mind digest and transmute the passions which are its material. Millions of artists create. Only a few thousands are discussed or accepted by the spectator, and many less again are consecrated by posterity. In the last analysis, the artist may shout from all the rooftops that he is a genius. He will have to wait for the verdict of the spectator in order that his declarations take a social value and that finally posterity includes him in the primers of artist history."
While Jewish beliefs were influencing other peoples, the world of Judaism itself was about to undergo a transformation.
Secret?
He said that's it.
Hello?
Good morning. Mr. David Heyman, please.
It is.
Oh, good morning to you, sir. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I so much appreciate this. How are you today?
Who's this?
My name is Gula Bagheera from Gula Films in Mumbai, Bollywood. Your colleagues from across the sea, sir.
Ah, who is it?
My name is Gula Bagheera from Gula Films.
How great. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, sir. How are you today?
I'm very well, and you?
Do you consider the book to be autobiographical?
Parce que c'est quand même une plante qui a besoin d'être nourrie.
Mais bien sûr.
I want to thank you so much for the Harry Potter film. It was so fantastic, and my children are playing on the PC game.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad they got some pleasure from it.
And you are a shining light to us all.
You're very, very kind. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that you enjoyed the film.
Oh, Filipendo. My children, they really love that. Dear children, they are.
So things are going well for you, right? I mean, your book is a bestseller in the U.S.
Yeah, it's a tiny bestseller.
Come on.
All right, yeah, right. Officially, yes. But, I mean, you know, most people haven't read Moby Dick. You know?
Big moment to moment. I'm not dragging. I always make fun of people who do all this work in their bedroom.
Right.
You know, with shot lists, or even actors practicing how they're going to do this and that.
Ma è una tua iniziativa questa?
Questo è il suo vago?
Sì, sì.
Quando era questo?
È scomparso 2 anni fa.
Ah, mi dispiace.
Giovane, aveva 62 anni.
Allora, questo qui era un negozio del mio babbo. Lo chiamavano tutti Beppe, infatti abbiamo dato il nome alla cantina di Beppe. È nato con questi prodotti.
And one man looks beyond the present day. When he wishes to give his life direction and lead it toward a goal, when he thus grasps that which defines his life and is clear about it,
yeah, so why should
then
it be my
he
book?
Is always
well,
I haven't read Moby Dick, and I like your book, so...
Thanks.
I thought you idealized the night a bit.
Oh, come on, it's officially fiction,
no,
right?
I
mean,
I know,
I'm supposed
I know,
to...
I know, I thought, you know, there were times where you made me a... Well, what? I mean, her, right? No, me. Okay, whatever. A little bit neurotic.
Oh, you are a little bit like that, aren't you?
You think I'm neurotic?
No. Come on,
oh.
I'm kidding. Where did I do that? I didn't do that.
Well, maybe it's just me. You know, reading something knowing that the character in the story is based on you, it's both flattering and disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, how's it disturbing?
I don't know. Just being part of someone else's memory, seeing myself through your eyes. How long did it take you to write it?
3 or 4 years, on and off.
Wow, that's a really long time to be writing that one night.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
You gotta leave the bedroom at home, all right? You know, and as an actor, what you want, you know, and some actors are different, but like, you know, what I like is my method is to just invest in the character and don't worry about the text. Just invest in the character. When you show up, you're the character, and there you go.
Another day in Mayberry. Of course, I'm filtering. Gotta get the crosshairs out of that sight. I can do something a little more variegated with it. What I'm looking at, that is. You know how that works.
Take you on a journey from our feet to our hair to way, way, way somewhere deep in your fantasies. The head doctor I wrote for people I wanted to try to get to come to our shows, I would entice them by whispering the head doctor in their ears. It's very sensuous. It's won't lie. I give good head.
I give good head. And my coochie naked but protected like the sensual elixir that fills your love glove when I whisper wetness and repeat rhythm to your monumental extension. My hands also know their craft. They play your skin blues. Work it on out.
You don't want to do the same thing over and over and over and over and again and again and again. And do it over again. You know, homeostasis sets in again. You know what happens when it sets in again. And you wind up doing the same thing over again. New metaphysics. Can't take my feet off the pedals. Of course, that was a choice. Gotta keep making that choice over and over and over again. If you know what's good for you.
C'è la passione
la trasmessa anche ai discendenti,
no?
Non
esistono i vini mondiali, ne sono tutti uguali. Tutto lo gnocco minerale su tutta la terra, la produzione è la stessa, da qua alla Nuova Zelanda.
Perché non si sente.
Non c'è nessuna differenza. Perché ci sono troppe manipolazioni umane. Per la maggior parte si tratta di una esagerazione. 20 anni fa Bolgheri era la stessa terra di ora. Da qua a qua è tutto Bolgheri.
Tutto Bolgheri.
E
l'Ornellaia se lo vende a 110 euro.
Non c'è, esatto. Questi sono vini che hanno un colore, un corpo, una struttura che credo che nessuna terra possa dare.
All right, thank you. Yes, Zolar, you're on the air.
Oh, thank God you took my call, Howard. Now I'm looking at 7, I'm looking at 5, I'm looking at 2, I'm looking at 4. Let me tell you something, Howard. One word
wow.
on the news about
Oh, no.
Me.
Wait a second. What happened?
Tom,
what happened?
Oh, my God. What?
That is education.
It's the politics of marijuana that industrial hemp is bound up with, and that's what we're trying to separate.
Se non la mano dell'uomo, non è possibile.
In the case of Burgundy, the Burgundy producers are out of the loop on the ratings. They don't know how to create ratings. Their institutions, like at Dijon and that, aren't in the business, don't have research dollars to support the ratings. France is a conservative country, unlikely to make a bold move to go around the system the way we do out here on the West Coast.
Do you think that that's why they threw Parker out of Burgundy?
I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
Secret. There are Fortune 500 companies that are very interested in using industrial hemp in their processes.
It's just he was starting to affect the performance profits, you know, the performance of companies, absolutely. That always gets back to the dollar, which I think is something.
Well, it just... The thing that I fought for 15 years, I worked in Burgundy. I could spend almost a month there every year from 1978 through 1994, which was the last year I went there. That's why I hired Pierre Rovani. And I was sued. I had all kind of problems. But I had friends as well.
Who sued you?
I can't talk about it.
I can't talk about the lawsuit, but that was...
Introduces a third player to keep things as realistic as possible.
I sealed off the area and I held off the trains till they could be examined. And there were some transients taken on at least one train.
Mr. Bowers, I believe you already talked to us about this matter before your deposition. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, is there anything else you told us that I haven't asked you about that you can think of?
Nothing that I can recall.
Witnesses excused.
Well, we got a long freight that was in there. We pulled some people off there, took them to station.
Do you mean some transients?
Tramps and hobos.
And were all those questioned?
Yes, sir. They were taken to the station and questioned.
And ask the question. Ask the question.
All right, let's go back to that Amos Hewins matter.
Yes, sir. Traffic had been cut off into the area since about 10, but there were three cars that came in during this time. From around noon till the time of the shooting. The cars circled the parking lot and left, like they was checking the area. And one of the drivers seemed to have something he was holding up to his mouth. That last car came in about 7 to 10 minutes before the shooting. It was a white Chevrolet four-door Impala, muddy up to the windows. Towards the underpass, I saw two men. They were standing behind a picket fence. They were looking up towards Maine and Houston, following the caravan as it came down. One of them was middle-aged, heavy-set. The other man was younger. There were two other men. They were on the eastern end of the parking lot, and each of them had uniforms. At the time of the shooting, there seemed to be some...
By settlement terms. But I was sued by Francois Faveli. It was something I wrote in a book that was a carelessly worded passage that he interpreted as implying that there was fraud. When in fact I wasn't implying that, I was stating in a rather clumsy way that his wines tasted outside the cellars were decidedly inferior to the ones tasted in the cellars.
And I think this is one area where Mr. Parker made a terrible misjudgment. He didn't understand that Burgundy, when he came over in the spring to taste Burgundy, when it's young, is wonderful. It's full of fruit. It's exciting. But it's fruit, really. And he said, of course, when it was in bottle, they made a mess of it. But in bottling, it was wine.
So it was a major lawsuit, and it was an ugly lawsuit. And I think that You know,
the lawyer was another winemaker, right?
DeMonti? Well, that wasn't his official lawyer, but DeMonti is one of his friends, and you know, certainly probably has me at the top of the list of the people in his crosshairs for, you know. But
why is that?
Well, I don't like his wines. I always thought his wines were again a name that was famous. I have vintages in my cellar. I have many vintages wines. I've never had one wine I could enjoy. It was the kind of wine you pull the cork, you pour it, and you say, I can't drink this shit. You know, it's just nothing to it. You know, it was again, you know, the emperor's, you know, new clothes.
So things are going well for you, right? I mean, your book is a bestseller in the U.S.
Something out of the ordinary had occurred there on the embankment.
Bestseller. All right, yeah, right. Officially, yes. But I mean, you know, most people haven't read Moby Dick, you know, so why should they read my book?
Well, I haven't read Moby Dick, and I liked your book, so.
Thanks.
I thought you idealized the night a bit.
Oh, come on, it's officially fiction, right?
No, I know. I thought, you know, there were times where you made me a. Well, what? I mean, her, right? No, me. Okay, whatever. A little bit neurotic.
But you are a little bit like that, aren't you?
You think I'm neurotic?
No. Come on, I'm kidding. Where did I do that? I didn't do that.
Well, maybe it's just me. You know, reading something knowing that the character in the story is based on you, it's both flattering and disturbing at the same time.
Yeah, how's it disturbing?
I don't know. Just being part of someone else's memory, seeing myself through your eyes. How long did it take you to write it?
3 or 4 years, on and off.
Wow, that's a really long time to be writing about one night.
Oh, yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
The deepest melancholy and despair. That's exactly what Pascal says. But for Pascal, the fact that we're unhappy when cut off from external objects only proves how sinful and weak we are. For Hume, what it proves is external objects are what we should be concerned with. It's only when we introspect that, as Hume says, we fancy ourselves in frightening darkness.
By the 1880s, most Jews in Western Europe had become middle class.
You had forgotten me.
No, I had a pretty clear picture of you in my mind.
They had won their political rights. They had won a place in European society as well. A Jewish textile manufacturer wrote about his home village in Germany.
At one time, there were quite a number of poor Jews in the community. Those who still remember those earlier days must acknowledge that a transformation took place before their very eyes, which the new generation cannot even imagine.
In Germany, France, Austria, the Jews were now above average in wealth and education. They brought their tradition of literacy and scholarship to the liberal professions, helping to shape modern law, medicine and journalism. Those who were accustomed to look down upon the Jews and to despise them were astonished by the extent of their achievements.
And the style, this is basically Parker Roland. Parker liked Roland, what Roland was doing. May not have been conscious that Roland was doing this, but presumably in blind tasting, or was blind or not. He liked the wine, but But I said, this is a real problem. To what extent does individuality fly out of the window? I mean, I think I'd rather have an individual wine which is maybe not up to scratch, rather than a wine which is made in a globally acceptable style and rather innocuous.
I have to tell you something.
I've
wanted to talk to you for so long, you know, that
yeah,
now
me too.
It's just surreal, you know. I feel everything out of my mouth.
I know. How long do we have? 20 minutes and 30 seconds? No.
And put the sanctions beside them, 5 years and $10,000 and 5 years and $5,000.
We got more than that. Well, I want to know about you. Tell me, what are you doing?
Potential obstruction of justice. When I took this list to Mr. Ehrlichman and Mr. Haldeman, Mr. Ehrlichman said, well, I may have to dig. He said, I don't think this sounds like an obstruction of justice. And I said, well, you may want to look at the statute. And I said, but particularly read the annotations to the statute, because I think you'll find some case law which indicates that obstruction of justice.
Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is For the Record program number 211.
I know that this statement will not meet with the approval of many artists who refuse this mediumistic role and insist on the validity of their awareness in the creative act. Yet, art history has consistently decided upon virtues of a work of art through considerations completely divorced from the rationalized explanation of the artist. If the artist, as a human being, full of the best intentions toward himself and the whole world, plays no role at all in the judgment of his own work, how can one describe the phenomenon which prompts a spectator to react critically to the work of art?
You know, what are you up to?
Where to start? I work for Green Cross. It's an environmental organization.
Yeah, what are they all about?
Well, we basically work on different environment issues, from clean water to disarmament of chemical weapons. You know, international laws that deal with the environment.
And what do you do for?
We're going this way. Different things. Like last year, I was in India for quite a while working on a water treatment plant.
Wow.
Yeah, well, the cotton industry there is a major source of pollution. So.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like you're actually doing something. Yeah.
For is that if there's a legacy for Robert Parker, is that that he leveled the playing field, that he brought to a field that was stratified, and it was essentially a caste system with a lot of elitists and a lot of reactionaries. This incredibly American, candid, democratic way of tasting. It is revolutionary.
Yeah. I mean, most people, myself included, just sit around and bitch. You know, America's consuming all the world's resources.
Yep.
SUVs, global warming is real.
You know, I'm really relieved to hear you're not one of those freedom fries kind of Americans.
If you want to be captain of the squad,
you've got to watch how the other team plays.
Hey, you know, but how'd you get into that?
I came out of political science, and I was hoping to work for the government, and I did for a little while. Terrible.
Not good?
Yeah, no. And anyway, I got really tired, let's go this way, of having this endless conversation with friends about how the world was falling to pieces. So I decided what I really wanted to do was to find things that could be fixed, that to do what pieces. So I decided what I really want, read what I really want, read what I, so I decided, so I decided what I really, what I decided, so I decided what I was how friends about how the world was falling to pieces from its head. And anyway, I got really tired.
It's very dramatic sometimes. Mellow, dramatic. It's a lot of matic. Quite a bit of it. A couple more inches of it. Just enough to get in the room. Penetrate.
Let's go this way. Of having this endless conversation with friends about how the world was falling to pieces.
There are indeed people are experimenting with it, are very pleased with the results. The problem is the public relations people are saying, we don't want to go near this issue.
Minor in that there's so little of it and that its effect is, it seems to me, so marginal. It seems to me that the left, through the radical feminists, have taken off after this. In an odd way, they will usually be in favor of freedom of speech for virtually any point of view, but on this one, they seem to belie their vaunted principles. We hear it from Andrea Dworkin and Catherine, what's her name, and Gail and people.
McKinnon,
thank you. And such, in other words, they will be pretty good civil libertarians on points of view. On most subjects, on that one, they become allies of Philip.
What's happening right now is important only in the context of our continuing evolution as a species.
Roger. All I'm saying is that I wish my sister would learn to read a subway map.
By saying that, you disregard the primary importance of utility in human relationships.
And Jerry Fallon. So it's a very interesting. It's almost as if it's a psychological aberration on their part. They're so obsessed with it that principles be damned. Or is there more to it than that?
I don't know if we ought to go into this because I'm not a real specialist in it. But I think McKinnon's positions are pretty sophisticated. I ultimately don't agree with them, but I think that they're thoughtful and sophisticated.
Marriage and the napolization of wine in general is creating this type of wine, this sort of high extract, new oak, Merlot-influenced wine. The terroir is there. They're destroying it. I think definitely they are suppressing. They're suppressing the terroir.
Would you call it a Napaization?
Much like our freedom is being suppressed now. Much like our freedom is being suppressed now in this country.
How do you see that?
This sort of this popular notion, let's be patriotic, therefore let's give up our freedoms. I mean, this is sort of the running concept. Let's not debate anything anymore. Let's just accept.
And just to reiterate my own feeling, my feeling is that we ought to be very...
Our ability, men's ability to read maps, to...
extremely wary about any infringement on the...
Navigate makes us useful. You should discourage your sister from even looking at a map.
Oh my God!
What happened? Look at that!
Oh, the whole World Trade Center just collapsed.
Channel 7.
Oh my God! The whole thing just completely dropped.
Goodness.
It actually collapsed.
That's it.
Oh my God!
Anybody who had a chance of getting out of there,
it collapsed.
Doesn't have a chance now.
Are you watching the footage?
Yeah.
relationship of trust and shared gold. A warm, fulfilling soulmate relationship now becomes manifest.
In other words, how does this reaction come about? This phenomenon is comparable to a transference from the artist to the spectator in the form of an aesthetic osmosis taking place through the inert matter, such as pigment, piano, or marble. But before we go further, I want to clarify our understanding of the word art. To be sure, without any attempt at a definition. What I have in mind is that art may be bad, good, or indifferent, but whatever adjective is used, we must call it art. And bad art is still art in the same way that a bad emotion is still an emotion.
Au-dessus de la tête de Becky.
Ouais, les premiers, s'arrêtent les premiers creux où il y a changement de couleur des vignes, voyez là. Et il y a un chemin et c'est les premiers creux qui commencent au-dessus de ce chemin.
Il y a plus de fer, il y a moins de fertilité, c'est plus pauvre comme sol.
Et ça a quoi comme effet sur le raisin ?
La vigne, elle doit pousser dans un sol pauvre. Si elle est trop belle, si elle est trop verte, si elle a trop de puissance, le raisin est trop gros, il est trop riche et il ne donne pas un grand vin. Le raisin est alimenté par le sol, par la racine. Donc si vous avez une racine qui est superficielle, le vin n'a pas la même richesse que si la racine descend très loin. Hein, c'est un fait.
Et les racines pêchent.
Bah oui.
Et le plus bas et le plus profond, la racine, le plus qui va pêcher de la nourriture.
Therefore,
c'est quand même une plante
when I refer to art coefficient, it will be understood that I refer not only to great art, but I am trying to describe the subjective mechanism which produces art in the raw state.
Are you saying that we women have an inferior sense of direction?
Which way is north, Joyce, without looking around?
What?
You heard me. Point north, quick. North, north, quick. North, 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 north.
Are you right?
Very impressive.
Oh. As she has throughout history, the female responds to the male who displays the most utility. By honing those skills which make me useful, I stave off my inevitable obsolescence.
So what, you sit home on weekends honing your ability to program a VCR?
Yeah. No, my VCR has been flashing 12 o'clock for 3 years.
What else, Roger?
Oh, driving standard shifts, lifting heavy things, air guitar.
Yes. Go ahead and chuckle, okay? But until women evolve the ability to move objects telepathically, and they will, physical strength remains a primary utility.
Here's to brute strength, then.
Roger, you're forgetting a very important male utility.
What's that, barbecue?
I want a guy to do more than just program my VCR.
Exactly. I'll program your VCR, baby, like you never had it.
It's a top loader. You think you can handle that?
Interestingly, a group of scientists in England just announced their intention to fertilize an egg without the use of sperm cells.
Now, this morning, I was giving you
a talk on the fundamental basic attitudes expressed in Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. And the title of the book, Tao Te Ching, introduces now the second word in the title. I've been dwelling this morning on the first word, which is Tao, and so comes up this second word, De. And this word, again, faces us with some serious problems of translation.
No, I don't understand that.
Every cell in the human body contains a copy of the genome pattern. The only reason sperm cells have all the fun is that up until now, they were the only ones with access. Within Christopher's lifetime, artificial insemination will render sperm as useless as an assembly line worker in Detroit.
Well, luckily, I had my accountant set up a golden parachute for my sperm years ago, in case they were downsized.
Iniziativa questa?
Questo è il suo vago?
Sì, sì.
Quando era questo?
È scomparso 2 anni fa.
Ah, mi
dispiace. Giovane, aveva 62 anni. Allora, questo era un negozio del mio babbo. Lo chiamavano tutti Beppe, infatti abbiamo dato il nome alla cantina di Beppe.
Another interesting thing that a lot of people seem to like. They like the vanillaization of wine. So they love this vanilla overlay, this sort of smoke charry thing, because it's so obvious and it really stands out and smacks you in the face. I remember the first time I went out to California. It comes from the char of the oak, the new oak. So you can put anything in the oak and get that kind of smell and flavor.
Yeah, it's always French oak, because the French oak is proven. It's not, the French can make they can defend their oak better than their terroirs, I think. The quality of their oak is subtle. It imparts that pain gris toastiness, but subtly.
Secret? Then come with me.
Yeah, I always thought you'd be doing something cool like that. I did.
Thanks. I just feel really, really lucky to be doing a job I like.
Yeah. You know, I actually alternated between thinking that, you know, everything is irrevocably screwed up and that things might be getting better in some ways.
Better? How could you possibly say that?
Well, I just mean, you know, like, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but there are things to be optimistic about.
Okay. I know your book is selling, which is great. I'm very happy for you. But let me break the news to you. Okay, the world is a mess right now.
No, I'm not.
No, Hemel, what's the point of you things are getting a bit better? Okay, we're moving all our industry to developing nations where we can get cheap labor free of any environmental laws. Okay, the weapon industry is booming. 5 million people die every year from preventable water diseases. So how is the world getting any better? I'm not getting angry, but come on. I want to know. I'm interested.
Okay. I realize that there are a lot of...
Standing tower number one, just we saw some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out at the top of the tower, and then it collapsed down onto the streets below, much like you saw the first tower just about a half hour ago.
Gosh, this is an unbelievable, it's incredible, incredulous.
And truly, as you're looking at the... If what there is of the Manhattan skyline at this point, the two most prominent landmarks, the World Trade Center,
they're good.
Are reduced to a...
Serious problems in the world.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? I mean, I don't even have one publisher in the whole Asian market.
Okay. All right.
Stop. All I'm saying is there's more awareness out there, right? People are going to fight back.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think the world might be getting better because people like you are educated and speaking out. Even the very notion of conservation, environmental issues, those weren't even in the vocabulary. Recently, you know, and they're becoming the norm, and eventually might be what's expected all over the world. Hey.
I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, it's dangerous. An imperialist country can use that kind of thinking to justify the economic greed. You know, human rights
is... particular imperialist country you have in mind there, Frenchie?
No, not really. No? Mm-hmm. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
So you want to sit over there?
Yeah, this is perfect. Oh, wow. Maybe what I'm saying is the world might be evolving the way a person evolves, right? Like, I mean, me, for example, am I getting worse? Am I improving? I don't know. When I was younger, I was healthier, but I was racked with insecurity, you know? Now I'm older, my problems are deeper, but I'm more equipped to handle them.
So what are your problems?
Brut, bad, good, or indifferent. In the creative act, the artist goes from intention to realization through a chain of totally subjective reactions.
Ordinarily translated virtue. But virtue as we understand it today isn't at all appropriate.
saying, let's put on the maquillage. You know, you put on the makeup. And I think that to a certain extent that's true, but it's more,
makeup,
it's more,
you can
it's
take
much
off,
more,
right?
It's, yes, it's much more dangerous than that. It's much more evil.
It's evil.
It's worse than plastic surgery, because with plastic surgery you can still get the interior person. Once this stuff is put on, wine has lost its soul. And so it has a personality that's sort of this neutral, sort of, you know, Stepford wife kind of wine. You know, it has very little to say to you. It's attractive. You know, it's something that can, you know, be a pleasant companion for certain people at a party. But hell, you don't want to go to bed with it.
The brain does not know the difference between what it sees in its environment and what it remembers. And then fire it. The brain is made up of tiny nerve cells called neurons. These neurons have tiny branches that reach out and connect to other neurons to form a neural net. Each place where they connect is integrated into a thought or a memory. Now, the brain builds up all its concepts by the law of associative memory. For example, ideas, thoughts, and feelings are all constructed and interconnected in this neural net, and all have a possible relationship with one another. The concept and the feeling of love, for instance, is stored in this vast neural net. But we build the concept of love from many other different ideas. Some people have love connected to disappointment. When they think about love, they experience the memory of pain, sorrow, anger, and even rage. Rage may be linked to hurt, which may be linked to a specific person, which then is connected back to love.
We build up models of how we see the world outside of us. And the more information that we have, the more we refine our model one way or another. And what we ultimately do is tell ourselves a story about what the outside world is. Any information that we process, any information that we take in from the environment, is always colored by the experiences that we've had and an emotional response that we're having to what we're bringing in.
Procreate.
Yes.
Yeah.
But are men absolutely necessary?
the structure of the female genitalia.
Wait. Okay, got it.
Oh, yeah.
What is the most sensitive part of the vagina?
I hope you know this, Donovan.
It's the clitoris, first discovered by Rinaldus Columbus in 1559.
First he thought it was India.
No. The crown of the clitoris contains 8,000 nerve fibers. It's a far greater concentration than in any part of the male body, even our fingertips. It is the most efficient pleasure delivery system ever devised by nature. Clitoris end up inside the vagina. Would be naturally, compellingly, constantly pleasurable for a woman.
I know the answer.
Yes, Miss Maynard.
Because in primitive time, women died of childbirth. So for intercourse to be too pleasurable wouldn't make sense from a Darwinian standpoint.
Some of them are, is that they gain complexity, they gain intensity, they gain richness, they gain nuance with a little bit of time and bottle. That's the process. That's what we've always come to appreciate. It's only recently when people had to turn over their inventory instantaneously so they could attach themselves to more money that this phenomenon of selling young wine occurred. It's not just wines that are $50 that age well. There are some very nice $10 or $12 bottles of wine that age, when I say age well, you can get better over 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. It's fascinating to see some of these simple wines when they're really well made.
You know, as I say, I always say as I get older, I like them younger. I'm talking about wine, of course.
You better be.
So, I think part of it is that you spend so much of your life immersed in tasting young wine, you develop sort of a fondness for the vibrancy and exuberance and the purity of a young wine before it's, you know, in that sort of infant stage where it's just the purest expression of what it is. Where as it ages, it, you know, the secondary things, you know, that's okay too. But I mean, it doesn't turn me on as much. That's what she likes.
start rotating my hips back and forth very slowly. Very slowly. Getting closer and closer. Sensual striptease. I start rotating my hips back and forth very slowly, getting closer and closer to you.
I'm impressed. Absolutely right. So, what does that tell us?
That evolution is looking out for us girls? Exactly.
That for women, intercourse and sexual fulfillment were never intended to intersect. New technology just makes it official. Future generations of women will evolve clitorises, clitori, clitorati.
Clitorissimo.
Longer, even more sensitive. And a woman's ability, as well as her desire to self-stimulate, will increase exponentially as intercourse is robbed of its procreative utility.
Wow, I'm confused and frightened.
You should be. The species is not static, okay?
Jim? You all right?
Oh, that's incredible.
What?
The whole thing. The lieutenant colonel testifies that Lee Oswald was given a Russian language exam as part of his Marine training only a few months before he defects to the Soviet Union. A Russian
exam. I can't believe it. Honey, it's 4:30 in the morning. I have 5 kids going to be awake in an hour.
I never knew a single man who was given a Russian test. Oswald was a radar operator. He'd have about as much use for Russian as a cat has for pajamas.
These books have gotten to your mind, Mr. Bear.
And then this colonel, he makes it sound like nothing. He says Oswald did badly on his test. He got only 2 more Russian words right than wrong. It's like me saying touchdown, he is not very intelligent because I beat him 3 games out of 5 the last time we played chess.
What, are you going to stay up all night every night for what? So you'll be the only man in America that's read all 26 volumes of the World.
Do I have to spell it out for you? Lee Oswald was no ordinary soldier. He's probably in military intelligence. That's why he's trained in Russian. There's no accident. He's in Russia.
Go back to sleep.
God damn it. I've been sleeping for 3 years.
We're in a constant state of flux. 2 genders has been the default setting for one reason only. So far, it's been the only way to propagate the race.
A human tasting scores, wine scores, have a standard error of 6 points. That means a 90-point wine could be 96 or it could be 84.
Looking you right in the eyes.
Thank you.
have collapsed. There.
If Jim Smith is with us still in Chopper 2, Jimmy, you there?
What?
Michael, we just saw that as well. The second tower, the only one that was standing, tower number.
Make sure that not one person has too much power. But my appeal is not to the government, but rather to customers and citizens. Be careful to make sure one person has too much power.
It just has one gender that doesn't have male, female.
Starfish, for one.
Next time I see a starfish, I'm going to tell them to go fuck themselves.
My appeal is not to the government, but rather to customers and citizens.
Come on, you love it.
No, we don't.
So where are we headed? Equality? Equality, what is that? Is that a principle of nature? We all sit around reading subway maps together? No, of course not. Natural selection, now that is a principle of nature. Selection, something has to lose, something has to be defeated in order for something else to be selected. So, what does this mean?
It means we all have to take orders from Joyce for the rest of our lives.
Hey, that's right. I like that.
It means that 10 or 15 generations from now, men will be reduced to servitude. Technology and evolution will have combined to exclude sperm from procreation. And our final destiny will be to lift couches and wait for that day when telepathy overcomes gravity and our gender's last remaining utility is lost forever.
I think we're better off with more than one broadcast station.
Well, because we have everything, and we have a way of life that's organized and free, and they're jealous.
You have survived the effects of the banquet, but you cannot move your left hand. There is a door on the east wall opposite your bed, and next to it is a picture of a naked devil in a mirror.
He looks terrible. Who is that?
It's you.
It's me. I look terrible. Where are my jeans?
In your body.
No, I mean my trousers.
Your trousers are on the chair against the south wall.
I get up. I go to the chair, I'll put on my pants and get out of here. Ow! Ow! What happened?
You knocked over the champagne bottle.
I'll pick up the bottle. I pick up the bottle. Why can't I pick up the bottle?
You cannot move your left hand.
It's my right hand. Is there anything left?
There is one drink left.
Good. Save it.
Saved.
Okay, now give me my trousers. Ah, help! Help!
There's a one-eyed snake in your trousers.
I hate snakes. Give it... What's that?
A muffled voice.
Snakes. Give him the champagne.
The snake is now drunk.
Ah, good. I'll hold on to it.
Saved.
What's that?
A muffled voice calling for help.
I'm coming. I put on my pants.
Saved.
I go to the door. Open door. My right hand, and I step out.
Army! Hey, Army buddy! Hey, don't close the door! Oh, no! We're trapped out here, and the hotel's on fire!
Where's the rain queen?
Well, I traded her to the dust mask.
For what, Flipper?
For this fine hump on my back. Meet Earl the Halfling.
Hiya, blood bag.
Okay, what are we going to do with a halfling in the Holocaust?
Watch it. I've got a really low level of frantic ability.
Ow! Ow! Kick me! I'll kill it!
No, 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 we carry the lunchroom with a...
I had this funny, well, horrible dream the other day. I was having this awful nightmare that I was 32. And then I woke up and I was 23, so relieved. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up for real and I was 32.
Oh, shit.
Scary.
Man. It happens.
Yeah, time goes faster and faster. Apparently it's because we don't renew our synapses after 20, so it's pretty much downhill from then on. Oh, well.
I like getting older. You know, I don't know, it feels more immediate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can appreciate things more.
No, me too, actually. I really love it.
I was once a drummer in a band.
You were?
Yeah. And we were pretty good, actually. But the lead singer guy, he was just so obsessed with us getting a record deal. You know, it's all we talked about. It's all we thought about, getting bigger shows. You know, everything was just focused on the future all the time. And now the band doesn't even exist anymore, right? And looking back at the shows we did play, even rehearsing, you know, I mean, it was just so much fun. Mm. Just now I'd be able to enjoy every minute of it. Kind of dragging it.
Mm-hmm. Well, your book has been published. That's a pretty big deal, and you've been all around Europe with it. Are you enjoying every minute of it?
Not really.
Not really?
Do you have another one of those?
Yes, of course. Here. In my field, I see these people that, come into it with big, idealist visions of becoming the new leader that will create a better world. They enjoy the goal, but not the process.
Right.
But the reality of it is that the true work of improving things is in the little achievements of the day. And that's what you need to enjoy just in that field.
What do you mean exactly?
Well, for example, I was working for this organization that helped villages in Mexico. And their concerns was how to get the pencils sent to the kid in those little country schools. It was not about big revolutionary ideas. It was about pencils. I see the people that do the real work, and what's really sad in a way is that the people that are the most giving, hardworking, and capable of making this world better usually don't have the ego and ambition to be a leader. They don't see any interest in superficial rewards. They don't care if their name ever appear in the press. They actually enjoy the process of helping others. They're in the moment. Enjoy the process of helping others. They're in the moment.
Morning.
Great. Let's start.
Larry was just in the middle of something.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was just killing time waiting for Griffin.
Oh. Well, no, finish. What were you saying?
I was just saying that I've yet to meet a writer who could change water into wine, and we have a tendency to treat them like that.
Not at this studio.
Like gravity or other things.
Mark, let me go back to Project Winterhaven for just a second. If the United States Air Force, back however many years ago that was, saw this information, is it possible that this 355 U.S. spacecraft, UFOs, at Baker Lake in Canada, that it's possible that they do exist? Are you suggesting to me and to this audience that the United States government...
Who is in the driver's seat when we control our emotions or we respond to our emotions? We know physiologically that nerve cells that fire together wire together. If you practice something over and over again, those nerve cells have a long-term relationship. If you get angry on a daily basis, if you get frustrated on a daily basis, if you suffer on a daily basis, if you give reasons for the victimization in your life, you're rewiring and reintegrating that neural net on a daily basis, and that neural net now has a long-term relationship with all those other nerve cells called an identity. We also know that nerve cells that don't fire together no longer wire together. They lose their long-term relationship because every time we interrupt the thought process that produces a chemical response in the body, every time we interrupt it, those nerve cells that are connected to each other start breaking the long-term relationship. When we start interrupting and observing, not by stimulus and response and that automatic reaction, but by observing the effects it takes, then we are no longer the body-mind-conscious emotional person that's responding to its environment as if it is automatic. Does that mean emotions are good or emotions are bad? No, emotions are designed so that it reinforces chemically something into long-term memory. That's why we have them.
They have been constructing UFOs that literally can fly?
There's very little doubt in my mind.
Let's go over that one more time, Mark. You are saying to me that the United States government has been making UFOs and that probably what we're seeing up in the sky...
Well, I think what they're doing is replicating technology that is otherworldly.
We are all connected.
An important message for you. Lunchworm, give a message.
Oh, no. You have to give me something.
Okay, what have I got? Inventory.
Player one, inventory. Half a map of parade route. Glass key. Ghetto blaster. Checkered trousers. Schnockered snake. Souvenir snowball with skyline of bonus city.
I like that. I like all this stuff.
Give him the key.
I need all this stuff.
Give
him the
key.
Okay, lose key.
Here, boss.
Thanks, Earl. Lunchworm, give message.
You know, we really must have lunch sometime.
That's no message.
How about the sky bridge is falling?
Holy hot! Looks like game over.
Stand back,
one.
Not while I got a snake in my pants. I'm just gonna whip it out, tie a knot into it, and lasso that flagpole.
Go for it!
Okay, hop on, number two.
No thanks, one. I've got a key.
Save me!
Get off my back!
One and a half leg, two heavy. Snake breaks. Hotel burns down. Game over.
Salvador Dalí. Nome para un anagrama para André Breton. A vida dona. Lequel anagrama avait été fait avec une petite mauvaise intention, croyant me gêner. Au contraire, c'était le mot magique qui a fait que depuis ce moment, les dollars n'ont plus sur ma tête comme une véritable divine diarrhée. Ce qui fait que depuis, je m'endors chaque nuit, de plus en plus entouré de satisfaction parce qu'il n'y a rien au monde qui me procure autant de satisfaction que sentir cette pluie monotone et divine de dollars.
Any number...
Any long distance number.
Really?
With area code first.
With area code first, so you...
You wouldn't have to dial the one, though.
No one first, just the area code number?
Correct, and it would reconnect you to another number.
Cool.
Through my website.
I meant to say, my website was down, but I understand. So, let me hear what your URL, it's not too long, is it?
No.
Symmetric patterns in nature are less symmetric than the causes that give rise to them. This may seem a strange thing to say. You may recall that the great physicist Pierre Curie, who with his wife Marie discovered radium, stated the general principle that effects are as symmetric as their causes. However, the world is full of effects that are not as symmetric as their causes.
Are top rated. Now, granted, I'm sure there are people who are interested in the content of what we do, but they wouldn't even sample it if they weren't fed up with the music business, with the music industry, and with the music that's played on the radio. And that gives way to this story out of the New York Times, of all places. And the New York Times somewhere along the way has figured out that the topics we talk about are more of interest to people who read a newspaper than the topics they generally talk about. So, if you need any more evidence that the music industry is in trouble, that the artists that you are allowed to hear on the radio are not satisfying anybody, that people are just sick to death of...
Hi, can I have a Cosmo and a Maker's Mark on the rocks? Thanks.
Let's have a talk.
I'm sorry, I'm with some people.
Let me guess. You're relatively new at the company? Maybe you moved to New York from somewhere else, somewhere friendly. First, you took pride in being alone. You want to make a name for yourself in the big city? After a while, you started thinking how it might be nice to meet somebody. Winter's not far off, and gets lonely sometimes.
Okay. And?
And so you develop a crush on your supervisor. Even though all the other women in the office tell you, keep clear, he's bad news.
Why is he bad news?
Because he's a player. He's a guy who collects trophies. Every woman who takes a job there ends up in bed with him. And if you give in to temptation, you'll end up the punchline to a sordid joke by the water cooler. Am I hot or cold?
It's a good story.
It's a cliche.
So what do you do when you're not reducing the world?
What's wrong with reduction? What's wrong with boiling things down to their essence? What's wrong with seeing what's really going on?
And what's really going on? What's the big revelation?
Why should I tell you? Telling you isn't going to change anything. For instance, I could tell you that what you think of as your personality is nothing but a collection of Vanity Fair articles. I could tell you your choice of sexual partners this evening was decided months ago by some account executive at Young and Rubicam. I could tell you that given a week to study your father and the ways in which he ignores you, I could come up with a shtick you'd be helpless to resist. Helpless. I could tell you that, but what would you do with the information?
Are there women who fall for this stuff?
Look, I'm just telling you the truth as I see it. Do you want to go fuck your boss? What business is it of mine? He's not daddy. He's just a guy in a suit. You feel compelled to contribute to the pathetic, heartbreaking predictability of it all, by all means.
Sit on the bowl. Don't worry about reading material, because he's normally got a couple issues of Beaver Hunt laying around. Just peel the pages apart. Because us guys, we love the girly magazines. We love them. I can't check off without them. But women, there's only a few magazines for women. Women don't get that crazy over that, you know. I mean, what's she going to come home with? One of a girly magazine going, "Oh, you see the scrotum on Mr. May? Look at a sack on Mr. June, huh?" And then, of course, the guy's dick covers four pages. And he's looking at it like, that's impossible. That ain't real. And you're thinking, I'd take a shot. Yeah, I know all about him. Oh, yeah. Go fuck yourself.
you know, to be in the moment. I mean, I just feel like I'm designed to be slightly dissatisfied with everything.
Next up, the load. What is it? Why is it? And what can be done to improve it?
You know, I mean, it's like always trying to better my situation. You know, I satisfy one desire and it just agitates another.
First, what is your total load? Well, in the chemical-laden world in which we live, impurities are all around. Everyone must deal with a certain amount of impurities and toxins at any given time.
You know, but then I think, to hell with it, right? I mean, desire is the fuel of life. You know? I mean, do you think it's true that if we never wanted anything, we'd never be unhappy?
Million and a half of these scripts, it's nuts. And I think avoidable.
But let me ask you something. When was the last time you actually bought a ticket to see a movie? You actually paid your own money to see it?
Pasadena, The Bicycle Thief.
You went to see The Bicycle Thief?
I love that film. It's a great film.
Yeah, it's an art movie. It doesn't count. We're talking about movies.
Jesus, people.
But all I'm saying is I think there's a lot of time and money to be saved if we came up with these stories on our own.
Where are these stories coming from, Larry?
Anywhere. It doesn't matter. Anywhere. The newspaper. Pick a story, any story.
All right. Immigrants protest budget cuts and literacy program.
Human spirit overcoming economic adversity. Sounds like Horatio Alger in The Barrio. Put Jimmy Smits in it and you got a sexy stand to deliver. Next. Come on.
Larry, this isn't my field.
Marty, it doesn't matter. Just give it a shot. You can't lose here.
Okay. How about mudslide kills 60 in slums of Chile?
That's good. Triumph over tragedy sounds like a John Borman picture. You still have a happy ending on it, the script will write itself. Fine. Here, give me the pick.
See, I don't know, Larry.
Give it a shot.
Further bond losses push Dow down 7.15. I see Connery as Bond.
That's fine. It's a good thing Oliver Stone wasn't listening to you. Where would we have been?
Well, we all would have been spared having to sit through Wall Street, for one thing.
Marty, what did Wall Street do worldwide?
70, 75, maybe 80.
$80 million, a couple of Oscars a year.
Okay. I think Larry's point is well taken. Let's move on now. Griffin, can you give us an update on the Taylor Hackford project? Griffin?
Yeah.
Stayed with that painting for about 8-9 months, wondering to myself.
So what had I done? What was it?
In our discussion of the mind-body problem in earlier lectures, we found that, in effect, in order to solve this problem, we have to challenge some of the conceptual distinctions that Descartes and others were making.
Tells me in a scary, loud, life-threatening voice to stop scratching my consciousness. I become terrified. I have scratched it off down there and do not touch myself again. Even in the bath, I am afraid of the water getting in and filling me up so I explode.
But this deviation in the score is dropping.
I put band-aids over my coochie snorcher to cover the hole, but they fall off in the water.
And they'll look at standard deviation versus price.
Does that mean that wines are getting more standard, though?
I imagine a stopper, a bathtub plug up there to prevent things from entering me. I sleep with three pairs of Happy Heart Shake cotton underpants underneath my snap-up pajamas.
We are all connected.
Want to touch myself, but I don't.
No, I don't think so. I think I would say that the critics are becoming, I mean, that's a good question, but you'd have to ask a statistician at MIT.
It never occurred to me that the one spectator and Parker and the others have similar palates.
Yeah, there's quite a similarity. You could check it out, do some statistics. 88% of the time, the critics will give the same score they did the previous year, and 80-some percent of the time, they give the same scores each other, many of the critics.
Is that an American palate thing, do you think?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. They are a population of people who live in America. So I'm sure their ratings are distinct and not overlapping with the people who live in Florence.
And the reason for this is a phenomenon known as spontaneous symmetry breaking. Symmetry is a mathematical concept as well as an aesthetic one. And it allows us to classify different types of regular pattern and distinguish between them. Symmetry breaking is a more dynamic idea, describing changes in pattern. Before we can understand where nature's patterns come from and how they can change, we must first find a language in which to describe what they are. What is symmetry? Let's work our way to the general from the particular. One of the most familiar symmetric forms is the one inside which you spend your life. The human body is bilaterally symmetric, meaning that its left half is, near enough, the same as its right half. As noted, the bilateral symmetry of the human form is only approximate. The heart is not central, nor are the two sides of the face identical. But the overall form is very close to one that has perfect symmetry. And in order to describe the mathematics of symmetry, we can imagine an idealized human figure.
Single person I'll miss when I leave this earth. Yeah, how sweet this is. The only thing that has any meaning is what's real, right? What we get, what we give each other. And in the dark, we're all scared. We're all scared. And there's more of us out there all the time, man. And the song is from Van Morrison.
Take me back there, take me away. understood the light. When I understood the light in the golden afternoon, 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 when we sat listening to the sunny boy blow. Sunny boy, blow his heart. Take me back to when I understood. When I understood, yeah. Walking down the street, and it didn't matter, 'cause everything felt so right and so good. Everything felt so right and so good. Everything felt so right. So good. Everything felt so right and so good, so good. In the eternal now, in the eternal moment, in the eternal now, in the eternal moment, in the eternal now, everything felt so good, so good, so good. So good, so good, and so right, and so right, just so good, and so right, in the eternal moment, in the eternal moment, in the eternal moment, in the eternal moment, when you lived in the light, when you lived in the grace. Grace, when you lived in the light and the grace and the blessing.
For someone?
Yeah, my fiance.
Hey. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. Congratulations. Is he a kind man, your fiance? Does he treat you with respect?
Not that it's any of your business, but yes, he does.
That must make you nervous.
Why would that make me nervous?
Oh, come on. Look at the time. Let's do the math together.
What are you talking about?
Let me guess. Low self-esteem and premenopausal concern led you to pursue a series of semi-abusive relationships. But a recent dose of therapy has convinced you that inner beauty is what really matters, and you really deserve that perfect partner who treats you with such respect.
Do you want me to call the bartender? Well,
unless you're an idiot, which I don't think you are, unless you're some kind of pathetic self-help junkie, you and I know your guy's going to wake up one morning and you're going to take a look around. He's going to figure out how old you are and what you really like. And that's the day he's going to go out for a pack of smokes and never come back. By that time, how you doing? She doesn't see what's coming. My heart bleeds for her. I fucking weep for her.
Director, but instead of investing in character, you're investing in the text. You're trusting the fact that you know this piece of material.
Yeah.
So now it's up on its feet.
There is a wine spectator point of view about the world of wine.
Mm-hmm. I would say ripe fruit, balance and concentration in the winemaking.
I mean, on every methodological step, from temperature-controlled cellar to the, we use the same glasses, you know, we've got natural light, we taste in the same setting over and over again.
Visiting the vineyards and visiting the winery and seeing how people work, you know, is the flip side of us sitting here and tasting out of brown paper bags.
There was a 9-point system, there was a 20-point system, we finally adopted the 100-point scale in 85.
Is that before Parker or simultaneous?
After Parker.
After Parker.
Mm-hmm. It was clear that it was something that resonated with consumers. It was easy for the consumer to understand and also made sense from the taster's intuitive point of view, too.
It's more funky today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it already smells richer with some vanilla. There's some nice fruit, a little candy here, and I don't get that earthiness, you know. So I'm a little bit higher, but I'm still only 80 points on it.
Somewhere in the average, 75 to 79. There's something infinitely depressing about turning a source of joy into a subject of analysis. And while you gain certain kinds of appreciation, certain kinds of pleasure from submitting that source of joy to analysis, you really have to fight not to eviscerate its soul in the process.
Then we analyze the wines for color, flavor, fragrance using chemical analysis. If one piece of analysis is missing, databases can guess what the chemistry might be if the quality was high with the critics. If we don't have the critic's score, but we have the chemistry, we could guess what the critic's score would be. The databases do this. They're using math algorithms. So that's the advantage of the database side. The way we use it, we sell a couple $1 million in testing to wineries for new wine and grape analysis. We predict what the critics will say in the future.
You'd become like a Michel Rollon.
We would
become
largest,
a consulting enologist.
We would.
Five living. The list is not just five, but name me five living directors.
I had this boyfriend of mine many years ago that wanted to be a Buddhist, and so you went to Asia to visit some of those monasteries.
Yeah, I thought about doing that too.
Yeah, and you should.
Really?
I'll tell you what. He was quite good looking, and each time he went to one of those monasteries, a monk offered to suck his cock.
True story.
Well, it all comes down to that, doesn't it?
Well,
I mean, I think that's why I really admire what you're doing. Yeah.
What do you mean, sucking cock?
No.
No,
I was gonna say, you know, you're not detached from life. You know, you're putting your passion into action.
Well, I try.
Hey, you know something? I'm going to be on planes and like in an airport for the next 8 hours. Uh-huh. I'd just love to see a little bit more of Paris. Would you walk around
with me a
little
bit? Yeah, let's do that.
Do you mind?
No, that's great. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah,
that's great.
What do we owe here? $450. Oh. No, I got it. I got a little per diem going on here.
Oh, okay.
Is this good for like a tip?
Yeah, that's fine. That's more than enough. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, is there anywhere to go around here?
It's sales day today.
What's that?
It's when everything is on sale in Paris. It's twice a year.
Au revoir, merci. All right, let's go shopping.
No, that's a bad idea. I don't want to inflict that on you. It's madness.
His struggle toward the realization is a series of efforts, pains, satisfaction, refusal, decisions, which also cannot and must not be fully self-conscious, at least on the aesthetic plane. The result of this struggle is a difference between the intention and its realization, a difference which the artist is not aware of. Consequently, in the chain of reactions accompanying the creative act, a link is missing. This gap, representing the inability of the artist to express fully his intention, this difference between what he intended to realize and did realize, is the personal art coefficient contained in the work. In other words,
Spielberg,
because
he's just such a perfect filmmaker, as far as like, you know, when he comes up, you know, like the taking of Shanghai sequence, for instance, in Empire of the Sun, and I talked to him about Private Ryan. He goes, oh, we're gonna create the greatest like taking of Omaha Beach ever, and I have no doubt he will.
Memory. 7 years old. Edgar Montaigne, who is 10, gets angry at me and punches me with all his might between my legs. It feels like he breaks my entire self. I limp home. I can't pee. My mama says, what's wrong with your cooch, snorcher girl? And when I tell her what Edgar did to me, she says, never, never let anyone touch you down there again. I tried to explain. He didn't touch it, mama. He punched it.
And thus adds his contribution to the creative act. This becomes even more obvious when posterity gives a final verdict and sometimes rehabilitates forgotten artists.
And the northern mandarins approximately thus. And in the section of the Lao Tzu where this is really introduced, the text says something like this. Superior virtue, not virtue, thus it has virtue. Inferior virtue, can't let go of virtue, thus not virtue. And we more or less paraphrase that by translating. Superior virtue is not conscious of itself as virtue, and therefore it is virtue. But inferior virtue is so hooked up with being virtuous or hooked on being virtuous that it's not virtue.
Basic to our whole tradition is the assumption that mental and physical name mutually exclusive categories. That if something is mental, it can't be physical. If it's physical, it can't be mental. And what we found was that those
This garden path.
All right.
It's really nice.
All right. This sounds better than shopping, actually. I mean, not that I wouldn't do whatever you wanted, but...
You know, sometimes I don't even need to buy anything. I just get high on trying on and looking at things.
Yeah, well, a therapist would tell you. Is this where we're going?
Yeah.
A therapist would tell you that's all good.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you ever in therapy?
Oh, no. Do I seem like I'm in therapy?
I'm kidding. Does it help your sex problems?
My sex problems?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, come on, tell me the truth. I mean, we didn't have any problems that night.
No, I'm kidding. We didn't even have sex anyway.
But that's a joke, right?
No, we didn't.
Well,
I mean, that was the whole thing.
No, of course we did.
No, we didn't. You didn't have a condom and I never have sex with that one, especially on a one-night thing. I'm extremely paranoid about my health. There's no way I would have...
Whoa, I'm finding this very scary that you don't remember what happened.
No, listen, okay. I didn't write an entire book, but I kept a journal, okay? And I wrote the whole night in it. That's what I meant, you idealizing the night.
All right, listen, I even remember what brand of condom we used, okay?
That's disgusting. I don't want to hear
it. Disgusting?
No. Okay, you know what? When I get home, I'll check my journal from 94, but I know I'm right.
Motorized razors.
Jiu-jitsu, Xerox, sugar knot, jaws of a jigsaw, ripsaw, summer of blunderbuss, boom, charuzaza, axa, derdum, dynamic cadenza, razorama, circsa, mares, berserkers, curse each law which causes, rust on scissors, chainsaw, maniacs, hijack, high-tech, tick-tock, clorpses, klaxons, clang, rotozaza, we have tatum tang, tum tum da da, roborama, bassa, buzz, bazooka, buzz, bum bang, tang, sing, sing, zip, gun, zulu, acid, jazz, has on jiu-jitsu, Xerox, sugar knot, jaws of a jigsaw, ripsaw,
mushroom clouds.
You know, you're bothering.
If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you like to be? And I said to him, probably right here, Elko, Nevada. Our nation's high at 79 today. Out in California, they're going to have some warm weather tomorrow, gang wars, and some very overpriced real estate. Up in the Pacific Northwest, as you can see, they're going to have some very, very tall trees. It's going to be clear across the Rockies and the Great Plains mostly, but look out, here comes trouble. Oh, boy. Front coming our way. Look out. What's that going to mean to us here in the Three Rivers area? One of these big blue things, this cold, frigid Arctic air, this big mass coming out of the north. It's going to meet up with all of this moisture coming up out of the Gulf, going to mix together at high altitudes and cause some snow. Going out on a limb now, not going to hit us here in Pittsburgh, going to push off and hit Altoona. Close call, folks. Let's take a look at the 5-day. As you can see, nothing to be too scared about. Bundle up warm, of course, but I think you can leave your galoshes at home. I'm not going to be here for the 10 o'clock. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day, and I'm going out to Punxsutawney for our country's oldest groundhog festival. So, as you know, according to the legend, tomorrow, February 2nd, if the groundhog wakes and sees a shadow, we've got 6 more weeks of winter to look forward to. So keep your fingers crossed, huh?
Sounds like a lot of fun. You must really enjoy it. This is your 3rd year in a row, isn't it, Phil?
4, Nan. 4.
Thanks, Phil. Up next, entertainment editor Diane Kingman looks at sex and violence in the movies.
Ich fühlte mich bei dir geborgen und aller Kummer flog davon. Hab ich in deinem Arm geweint, sprichst du mit deinen Gründen. mein Freund der Baum.
Can I help you, sir?
Hey, no, no thanks, I'm good.
I said, can I help you, sir?
Where's that other guy? The,
He's home sleeping.
Oh, okay. Well, it's very important that I see Joyce Maynard right away, so...
Okay, I understand. Why don't I just leave her a note?
Well, it's very important that I see her in person, so...
Okay, listen, that's not going to work, so why don't I just call your cab and you go home and sleep it off?
Okay, why don't you go fucking home? All right,
okay.
Hey, you know what? We don't understand each other. I'm her boy. I'm her boy, okay? Who are you? Who are you?
I am the man who's going to call the police if you don't get the hell out of my lobby.
Viel Zeit früh, ich kam zu spät. Du wirst dich nie im Wind mehr wiegen. Du musst gefällt am Wege liegen. Und mancher, der vorübergeht, der achtet nicht den Rest von Leben und reißt an deinen Grün. Zweigen, die sterben sich zur Erde neigen. Wer wird mir nun die Ruhe geben, die ich in deinem Schatten fand?
Ma è una tua iniziativa questa?
Questo è il suo lago?
Sì, sì.
Quando era questo?
È scomparso 2 anni fa.
Ah, e mi dispiace.
Aveva 62 anni. Allora, questo qui era un negozio del mio babbo. Lo chiamavano tutti Beppe, infatti abbiamo dato il nome alla cantina di Beppe. È nato con questi prodotti.
E li amavo?
Sì, sì. C'è la passione.
C'è la passione, l'ha trasmessa anche ai discendenti, no? No,
no. Non esistono super toscani, esistono i vini mondiali e sono tutti uguali. Tutto lo gnocco minerale su tutta la terra, la produzione è la stessa, da qua alla Nuova Zelanda.
Perché non si sente.
Non c'è nessuna differenza. Perché ci sono troppe manipolazioni umane. Per la maggior parte si tratta di una esagerazione. 20 anni fa Bolgheri era la stessa terra di ora. Da qua a qua è tutto Bolgheri.
Tutto Bolgheri.
Tutto Bolgheri.
Lee Oswald was no ordinary soldier. He was probably in military intelligence. That's why I was trained in Russian. There's no accident. He's in Russia. God damn it. I've been sleeping for 3 years.
E l'ordine Elias se lo vende a 110 euro.
Cioè, esatto. Questi sono vini che hanno... un colore, un corpo, una struttura.
All emotion is holographically imprinted chemicals.
They probably reverse engineered some acquired saucers and duplicated the technology for military use.
The most sophisticated pharmacy in the universe is in here.
There's a part of the brain called the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus is like a little mini factory, and it is a place that assembles certain chemicals that match certain emotions that we experience.
Why would they not tell us that? I mean, when did this happen, Project Winter Haven? You said this guy died. So when did this happen that it was demonstrated for the Air Force? It happened in the late 50s. And that's where it went classified. So we're now 40 years later.
Actually, in the 40s, the late 40s, when everything happened, that's pretty much when everything happened. That's when gravity stopped going down. Or at least the ability to stop going down. And then the exponential concept started pounding the buds. And I don't mean BC buds either. It's kind of like a football team. Propounderance of protuberant concepts overlap, violating the matricidal laws of the Newtonian linear love fest. Now merely a nostalgic redux kind of revisitation, just to satisfy the resonant ricochets and such. Nothing more. No need to get alarmed about them. The Bush crew, the energy gang fuck going on. No big thing. Just a little ricochet from the knoll. Just the last iteration of that old movie, long since morphed into the second billing of the second showing in the double feature. Yeah, I believe it ended quite a while back in the late 40s. A lot of sunspot activity back in early part of 47, 9, 58 or so years from back from now. A lot of those concepts that were building up charge made a formal arrival in the early part of the 20th century there. Sprang into action, and the rest is history, rehistory, foreshadowing, revisiting of the foreshadowing, and on, just listen for the reverbs and such. And then you'll hear stories of mechanics, a reversion back to the materialism and the love fuck with the straight arrows of our world, and electronics, other scientific fantasies, and wrong end of the binocular vision kind of thing. Like being on the wrong side of the magnifying glass when those ants are being burned from the solar rays of the 6-year-old child out in the tall grass of a early spring day, protected from the cold winds. Lunch is being prepared by his mother. No English is even known about in this foreign place, probably France. A little bit of the Orient in the heart of the beast. A little soft spot. Probably more sensory neurons per square measured parameter than all the surrounding areas, jacked into a jackboot all together. And look what happens. Of course, it's still the jackboot of the world over there. Gil Batesland. So don't go looking at that official story to explain anything, little one. Don't go asking Daddy. Don't go moving that blind spot around like you were swinging a big dick in the wind over Wall Street now. Come on now.
Credo che nessuna terra possa dare, se non la mano dell'uomo.
I forgot what that means, but it is good, so I'm using it, even though I forgot what that means. But it is good, and I'm using it. I forgot what that meant. Oh, yeah? You using it? New metaphysics. Climbing up that beanstalk. Carrying your sorry ass with me. So whenever in doubt, just use the word ass. So we don't need to worry about our only source of cool language coming from penitentiaries where many cotton pickers are stored. No, they're out now. They're out and in. The American language is being fucked from both sides. I'm doing what I can. You sorry ass.
Non è possibile.
Case of Burgundy, the Burgundy producers are out of the loop on the ratings. They don't know how to create ratings. Their institutions, like at Dijon and that, aren't in the business, don't have research dollars to support the ratings. France is a conservative country, unlikely to make a bold move to go around the system the way we do out here on the West Coast.
Do you think that that's why they threw Parker out of Burgundy?
I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. It's just he was starting to affect the performance profits.
Is brought to you by PeerFlix. Trade DVDs online at peerflix.com/cinecast.
A
Thank you for tuning in. From Chicago, this is Cinecast. I'm Adam Kempinar.
And I'm Sam Holgren. Coming up on this Friday edition of Cinecast, our top five road movies, plus listener feedback, music by Milton Mapes and Matt Mays. But first, a detour from our regularly scheduled Overlooked Auteurs Marathon. We'll spend a few minutes discussing a movie we missed in 2005, director Mike Mills' Thumbsucker.
And that we're still denying that they even exist.
Mills' directorial debut, adapted by Mills from the book by Walter Kern. Thumbsucker was released last September and came out on DVD January 20th.
In a blow to the summer concert season.
It's from the New York Times.
Already hurt by the loss of big tours by Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. The touring Lollapalooza Festival has been canceled, because of poor ticket sales, according to festival organizers.
You are not locked in, Sora. Your room has been cleared and is now available.
His left side is exactly the same as its right side. But exactly the same?
24th, Lou Taylor Pucci stars as Justin Cobb, a 17-year-old suburban kid whose helpful little childhood habit allows him to cope with his teenage angst.
How important, it just occurred to me, how important is knowing the English language or being able to speak English well?
That's right. Yeah, there's even more to it than that. There's, several other people, Dr. Alexander D. Seversky in the 60s made the ionocraft, and I've seen the vintage footage of it, and I've duplicated the same craft, and it works. Again, it's using electric propulsion, but it's shooting out streams of ions, and the guy turned up a variac, which is kind of like a volume control for power, and this square grid, and he had a triangular one too, and when he turned up the power, this thing lifted up in the air right in front of us. There was no strings pulling it up or anything like that, and it tilted at every angle, and he had full control over it.
Trucks and trailers will save a lot of crop, but they sure ding up some pretty saddles.
This is about the point in the film where people start to wonder, what is micro-oxygenation? I didn't think it was important to reveal it in the film, in case anyone's curious. It's you can call it the Botox of wine, because it artificially changes the aging process of the wine. I mean, in this case, it makes it seem older, rounder, smoother, easier to taste more quickly. I guess a kind of Dorian Gray packed with wine.
When his new age orthodontist, played with perfect far-out ridiculousness by Keanu Reeves, successfully hypnotizes him, Justin finds other ways to smother his insecurities, first with the modern answer to all teenage problems, Ritalin. When that stops working, he turns to the old standbys, pot and sex.
Nick?
Uncle Roger. How's it going?
What are you doing here, Nick?
What? Oh, I wanted to see where you work.
Yes, no. What are you doing here?
What? Oh, you mean here in New York?
Yes.
Here? Oh, Mom, I had an interview at Columbia, so Mom said I should look you up.
Sit down.
Okay.
That's what all the phone calls were about.
The phone calls?
Yeah, your mom's been calling me.
Well, did you speak to her?
We're playing phone tag.
Yeah, well, she said you could show me what you do here.
She did, huh?
Well, there's not a whole lot to show you, Nick.
Really? Like, what do you do all day?
What do I do all day? I sit here and think of ways to make people feel bad.
Oh, I thought you wrote for commercials.
I do, but you can't sell a product without first making people feel bad.
Well, why not?
Because it's a substitution game. You have to remind them that they're missing something from their lives. Everyone's missing something, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Trust me. And when they're feeling sufficiently incomplete, you convince them that your product is the only thing that can fill the void. So instead of taking steps to deal with their lives, instead of working to root out the real reason for their misery, they run out and buy a stupid-looking pair of cargo pants.
Is it fun?
It can be.
It is really quite amazing.
All right. If it's true that the government has back-engineered flying saucers, then the best private financial use of these would be for drug running.
No more buildings.
If Jim Smith is with us still in Chopper 2, Jimmy, you there?
What?
Michael, we just saw that as well. The second tower, the only one that was standing, tower number one, just we saw some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out of the top.
Right of freedom of expression. Would it be possible to analyze that left, or at least examine that left-wing participation in the censorship brigade as in a sense a co-opting by the extreme right? I read an interesting study in the Journal of Psycho Something or the thing that deals with children's psychological problems. A friend of mine is a child psychologist and gave me a magazine. Talked about how this wedding of viewpoints of the hardest right and some of the most militant feminist left, in a sense, ultimately serves the Reaganite right far more than it will serve, should we say, people's liberation movements or whatever. Well, I'm personally not too sympathetic to that point of view. I mean, human beings are pretty complicated objects, and they have many different... I don't think people can be categorized as right, left, radical feminist, something else. I mean, a person can take positions on some issues that fit into one category and on other issues that fit into another category. I mean, there are a lot of ways of trying to make sense out of the world. And if you find, as you could, that on some particular issue there'll be a coincidence between Andrew Dworkin and Phyllis Schlafly, I don't think that proves much. I mean, you can find some particular issue on which I'll agree with Elliot Abrams, but that's not going to prove it. Not the AccuWeather Elliot Abrams, no. The other Elliot Abrams. Chomsky, that early on in your book you explain that are your sort of centers of information and what the values inherently are going to be given this system. Please, outline. Please. Well, these are not so much premises as assumptions on the basis of which we draw conclusions and then try to show the conclusions are valid. The assumptions begin with a look at the structure of the society. There are... it's pretty plain that power is distributed in a certain fashion. Ultimately, it resides in ownership. There's fairly centralized ownership of the means of production and distribution and resources and so on. Plenty of interlocking, and you can figure out how it works. Mm-hmm. That has an effect, a very powerful effect, on every other aspect of the system. For one thing, really corporate power has a tremendous effect on the political system. The top executive positions in the government are typically, almost invariably, filled or are very largely filled by representatives of the corporate sector or law firms that cater to corporate interests and so on. You mean the occasional Martin Durkin, the plumber who became Secretary of Labor, is a rarity because he's... Very much. In fact, not only a rarity, but you can do it as long as you're coming from that sector of the labor management, which accords with corporate values, which much of the labor leadership does. The ideological system is also heavily influenced by this. As we were talking before, and as obvious, the major media are in fact corporate. It's a corporate oligopoly. The media system is basically a corporate oligopoly. So what you have is a sort of a state corporate nexus, which has a certain framework of values that our system reinforcing and to be expected. I mean, any system is going to try to protect itself and defend itself. Any system of power will defend itself, and this system will. Now, when that turns to the implications are going to be, we predict, and I think try to show that it is true, is that when that the framing of issues in the discussion of the affairs of the domestic and international society accord with the needs of this this nexus of power. So it's, as I was mentioning before, its goals in the early post-war period and ever since have been to construct a world order of a certain type. And the media will present what happens in the world and what happens at home in that framework. It's not that they'll simply follow blindly the government line. There's always a range of dispute. There's some spectrum of tactical dispute over exactly how to achieve essentially shared goals. And within that frame, that spectrum of, insofar as there's a spectrum of disagreement among within a broader elite consensus, insofar as that's true, you will find debate in the media. You can certainly see this all over the place. I mean, take, say, Nicaragua, which you mentioned.
Yes.
There is an elite consensus that, and has been since the beginning, that Nicaragua cannot be permitted to pursue the path of independent development any more than Vietnam can. That's kind of a fixed position in American policy, a subject of very little variation. Nicaragua, the Nicaraguan Revolution began with attempts to redistribute resources and wealth towards the poor majority, to independent development, to neutralism, and so on. That's completely intolerable to the United States, so there's a consensus that has to be stopped and destroyed.
The Tom Likas Show.
I hope you might have some advice for me.
All right.
My question is, say you make a mistake, you know, you skipped a few of the Likas 101 classes and you establish a precedent by, you know, spending lots of dough on a chick and, you know, it works to your advantage, you know, great sex with all that, but when the money disappears, it seems like she wants to do the same thing. How can I bring it back to a respectable level?
I've always said you set the bar in the beginning.
There's no going back?
Nope. That's like getting on the friend list. You're not getting off the friend list. And once you've spent a lot of money, she expects it. Again, I will reference you that song by Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond. I hate the song, by the way, but you don't bring me flowers anymore. Why'd you ever bring her any goddamn flowers in the first place? She wouldn't be writing songs like that.
You know, I realized the error in my ways. Like, the first date we had was the suite at the Bellagio. You know?
You're dead. You're dead.
Damn it. That's no
good. You either keep spending or you're out.
Man, well, I'm going to quit spending regardless. But hopefully, maybe I'll make some kind of magic happen and I'll be able to keep her on deck.
Believe me, if you don't spend, they'll find other suckers who'll spend money on them and then not get any sex, and you'll get the sex.
Well, that's what I need to do then. You know?
Exactly.
I'm running out of patience with this.
I don't buy, and money probably.
Yeah, well, that too. Now, pockets aren't that deep.
Whose are?
Sounds like yours are, but you know what to do with your money, so you ain't got to worry about things like
this. Let me ask you a question. Do you think I have ever taken a chick to a suite at the Bellagio?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think I've ever paid to take a chick to a suite?
Well, if you did, you learned your lesson, and that's why you're on the air telling guys like me what's up.
In fact, when I have taken chicks to suites, usually the radio station in town has paid for the suite. Like I'm coming to town to do my show or something, and I have a really nice room.
Uh-huh.
But you think I paid for it? No.
So you can't, no advice you can offer? I mean, basically what you're telling me right now is drop that bitch.
You have to.
Oh, damn it.
There was a little raised bridge made of boards across this lake. Our house had no cellar, only a square hole with a trapdoor under the stairs.
There are 650 local winemakers who bring their wines to his lab to be analyzed, as well as the 100 wineries all around the world that Michel Renaud consults for.
La France, bien tiré. L'Espagne, le Portugal, le Maroc,
L'Afrique du Sud.
I don't think there's any question that he's the world's most influential wine consultant. Obviously, there are those people who think he's had a positive effect on the world of wine. There are definitely people who are very worried about the extent of his influence and the imposition of one man's taste on so many places. Because it's not just the fact that he consults for 100 wineries, but there are 100 of the most influential wineries, so there are thousands of wineries behind that everywhere who will follow the lead of those 100 that he actually consults for.
It's not some distant destination. It's not Everest. It is right here. You have to attune yourself to it. You have to bring yourself into alignment. You have to find the zone, Nick, okay? Do that, and I promise you, a whole world will open up. Look at me. I walk around in a state of total receptivity. I'm like a fucking lightning rod.
All right, fine. So what do I do?
Well, for starters, let's get rid of that little meditation, the blue triangle. We don't block things out, Nicholas. We let them in.
Wait, what in?
There are millions of women in this city, Nick. Millions. Most of them are blessedly unaware of the countless ways in which their bodies are exposed to our eyes. So, first, learn to read the sun, where it sits. You'll notice correlation between backlighting and transparency. They wear light-colored clothing. Underwear shows right through. Bra straps, panty lines, no need to stretch or squint. It is there for us, okay? For example, blowing my cover? Are you blowing my cover like some construction worker?
No, I was just telling you.
Good Christ, Nick. Use your head. Step back. Let her pass. Okay? Give it a few seconds. Watch this. And then camouflage the move. Pay attention. Checking if the watch is good, or if the pager, or looking for a street sign like you're lost, or just now you saw me do a combination. Whatever it is, don't get caught. You think women have a clue what goes on up here? Huh? What do they think? It's just stock quotes, drill bit sizes? They don't know shit! Let's keep it that way.
All right.
The house was anchored to the ground with a high bank of earth sloping to the windowsills and covered with grass to keep the house from blowing away in a tornado.
As pure sugar from molasses by the spectator. The digit of this coefficient has no bearing whatsoever on his verdict. The creative act takes another aspect when the spectator experiences the phenomenon of transmutation. Through the change from inert matter into a work of art, an actual transubstantiation has taken place. And the role of the spectator is to determine the weight of the work on the aesthetic scale. All in all, the creative act is not performed by the artist alone. The spectator brings the work in contact with the external world by deciphering and interpreting its inner qualification, and thus adds his contribution to the creative act. This becomes even more obvious when posterity gives a final verdict and sometimes rehabilitates forgotten artists.
Outside there was a cyclone cellar, an artificial hill grass-covered, which had a slanting cellar door and steps to go down into the cool darkness.
Sam, we were both aware of and curious about Thumbsucker when it was released last year, but weren't compelled to see it in the theater. Is this an overlooked DVD worth recommending to the Cinecast audience? Or are you going to continue on your hater streak?
Hating. I hate to break a streak, but I did like this movie.
Thank God.
I it was one of these things, and to go back to Transamerica a little bit, if Transamerica was the kind of film that was guilty, I think, of the kind of traps that some indie movies, and I know that's casting a wide swath here, mm-hmm. but that sort of take a kind of pleasure and yet don't take responsibility for some of the really grotesque things. Like, you know, when you're dealing with an issue, not just of transgender, but of sexual abuse and street hustling mm-hmm. and drug abuse. And I feel like you don't have a director that doesn't quite know how to handle it. This is sort of the other indie film. It's definitely in the Wes Anderson school of quirkiness. And mm-hmm. this movie starts off, and I felt like the quirkiness of it was almost, it was so quirky and harmless, I just thought it was going to shatter into a million pieces. It just wasn't going to hold up.
Uh-huh.
Just the way the music, I mean, the polyphonic spree, who I love. I mean, I love the music in it. Elliot Smith and, you know, just, you know, basically embracing, wearing its 70s heart on its sleeve with Harold and Maude. I mean, even you have Elliot Smith covering, you know, Cat Stevens' Trouble from Harold and Maude. I mean, it really is just like wearing its heart on its sleeve. But at the same time, it doesn't quite reach the kind of Wes Anderson pitch, where he doesn't quite, I think, know how to, you know, create an entirely different world, I think, that, you know, that Wes Anderson is capable of. But I really ended up, by the end of this, really liking this film, and it turned into the kind of experience where it's like, despite the fact that this film, you know, does, you know, contain scenes of mild sexual content and drug use, I feel like it's the kind of movie I certainly wish, I think I absolutely would have loved when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. You know? All emotion is holographically imprinted chemicals.
It was circular inside and had shelves for shining tin pans of milk. This was Jersey milk, with a thick blanket of yellow cream.
Kind of depressed state for a period of time. This is the depression of the nun, where there's not much animation, not much call to action coming from the inside. And it becomes very easy then to pick up someone else's agenda and to kind of hook on to their ideas and motives and confuse them with one's own.
Well, you see, you probably shouldn't have had her in the first place because she sounds like a goddamn gold digger.
Yeah, well, I think if I had played my cards right from the beginning, I wouldn't be in this situation. But I was, wow. You know, I jumped the gun a little bit, you know.
And when the minute you start setting that bar high, there's no bringing it back down.
Well, I'm a little
If you're a cheap bastard from the beginning, she'll accept that.
Damn it. Well, I'm disappointed, but I appreciate your time.
Because now try to reason this out. Now, when you want to take her to the Motel 6 up in Laughlin,
right,
instead of a suite at the Bellagio, she's going to say, "What? Don't you love me anymore? What about the good times we used to have? What are you doing now? Now you have very low regard for me. You used to take me out places. You used to do stuff with me, and now you don't."
Right.
The trick is never to let a chick ever think that she's going to have a life of lobster and champagne and hotel suites. The minute she thinks that, you're stuck.
It was a projectionist. Mm-hmm.
By the way, women are.
That told me
if we see a woman answer
about what she understood the shooting style of the film was. I tried to just be reactive and present and didn't think about a style. I don't think that style is something that you consciously think about. Styles emerge from the realities, and here it's a fish reality. But she said, I really like what she said, she's a professional projectionist. She said the first time she saw the film, she wasn't sure about all of the movement of the camera. But she said the second and third times that she saw it, she realized that the camera was behaving the way a person thinks. man. I actually like that. That seemed somehow very close to what I felt. I operated probably 60 to 70% of the time and felt the camera as an extension of how I was reacting. It's interesting that a lot of the new wineries in Napa, boutique wineries like this one or larger wineries, were started in the 1980s, which is when really Napa took off as a place for people with wealth and power looking to assert themselves somehow in the world of wine. A lot of Napa wineries were started in the 80s. I think there was a transformation in the way Napa wine was made, Californian wine was made, in the 80s in contrast to the 70s. That's very close to the difference in Hollywood films of the 70s and Hollywood films of the 80s.
Would take a long tin utensil with a flat perforated disc on the end and push the folds of stiff cream to the edge of the pan and lift great globs of it into a bowl.
When you want to take her to the Motel 6 up in Laughlin, instead of a suite at the Bellagio, she's going to say, "What? Don't you love me anymore?" You're going to say, "What? Don't you love me anymore? What about the good times we used to have? What are you doing now? Now you have very low regard for me. You used to take me out places. You used to do stuff with me, and now you don't."
Right.
The trick is never to let a chick ever think that she's going to have a life of lobster and champagne and hotel suites. The minute she thinks that, you're stuck.
Wait a minute.
What?
Was it in the cemetery?
No, we went to the cemetery in the afternoon. It was in the park, very late at night. In the park.
Wait a minute.
I can't.
No.
Is that forgettable? I mean, you really don't remember. In the park.
Okay, wait a minute. I think you might be right.
All right, you're messing with me now.
No.
Are you messing with me?
Okay, no, I'm sorry. You're right, okay? Sometimes I put things in drawers inside my head and forget about it. I guess it's less painful to put certain things away than to live with it. I'm sorry.
So that night was like a sad memory for you?
No, I didn't mean that night in particular. I just meant certain things are better off forgotten.
I remember that night better than I do entire years.
Me too.
Really?
Well, I thought I did. But maybe I put it away because of the fact that my grandmother's funeral was the day we were supposed to meet again.
Yeah, right. It was a tough day for me, but it must have been worse for you.
It was unreal. I remember looking at her dead body in the coffin. Had her beautiful hands, so warm, so sweet, that used to hold me, but nothing in that coffin resembled what I remembered of her. All the warmth was gone. And then I was crying, so confused if I was crying because I was never going to see her again or never going to see you again. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry
to go on like this. I've been a little down this week. I don't know, nothing bad. Just reading your book, maybe? No, but thinking of how hopeful I was that summer and fall, and since then it's been kind of, I don't know. Memory's a wonderful thing if you don't have to deal with the past.
Memory is a wonderful thing if you don't have to deal with the past. Can I put that on a bumper sticker? No, you know what? If you wrote a book about our night, that'd be the title.
Yeah, and it would be a total different book.
Right? Yeah, there'd be no sex.
But you know what?
What?
Now that we've met again, we can change our memory of that December 16th. It no longer has that sad ending of us never seeing each other again, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess the memory's never finished, as long as you're alive.
This is the ambulance emergency line. Do you have an emergency?
I need a ambulance.
Who is this?
Joe.
Okay. So where do you need us?
I'm in the motherfucking phone booth.
Okay. What's the address there?
Hold on.
Okay, sir. Did you call through 911?
No.
Okay, Hey, Joe, I need a location. What street are you on?
I'm in the motherfucking phone booth at the Stop and Go.
Yeah, I'm at the...
That's it. I'm at the motherfucking Stop and Go.
Wait a minute.
What's the motherfucking street? Huffsmith, Corville, and something.
It's the motherfucking Stop and Go.
Huffsmith, Corville, and what? Hold on.
Yo.
Uh-huh.
How about,
let me see. Coffee.
There you go.
I'm in the motherfucking phone booth.
I'm going down the motherfucking road, driving my car, minding my own goddamn business, and a motherfucking deer jumped out and hit my car.
Okay, sir, are you injured?
Let me tell you. I get out and pick the motherfucking deer up. I thought he's dead. I put the motherfucking deer in my back seat, and I'm driving down the motherfucking road and minding my own business. The motherfucking woke up and bit me in the back of my goddamn neck, and he bit me and it done kicked the shit out of my car. I'm in the motherfucking phone booth. The deer bit me in the neck. A big motherfucking dog came up and bit me in the leg. I hit him with the motherfucking tire iron, and I stabbed him with my knife, so I got a hurt leg, and the motherfucking deer bit me in the neck. And the dog won't let me out of the motherfucking phone booth, because he wants the deer. Who gets the deer, me or the dog?
Okay, sir, are you injured?
Yeah, my motherfucking deer bit me in the neck.
Hold on.
The motherfucking dog is biting me. Hold on. God damn it, get out of here. Hold on. The motherfucking dog is biting my ass. Hold on.
We are all connected.
Neil Rosenthal is one of a number of American wine importers whose role in the wine world is a lot like art dealers, gallery owners of say, the 1920s in Paris, or book editors who work closely with the artists and then figure out a way to bring the artists to market.
In Manhattan, 72nd Street and Lexington Avenue, 1930.
They play a crucial role encouraging people to make wines of personality and individuality. And the relation between people like Neil Rosenthal and other wine importers, American wine importers like Kermit Lynch and Becky Wasserman, starting really after World War II in France, Frank Schoonmaker. It's a whole tradition of Americans who had a vision of what it means to work with foreign cultures, to respect the cultures, and to encourage them to express themselves, and then to bring those cultures to the attention of Americans to be appreciated. And it's a very different notion of America's place in the world than we're seeing today.
I like being in Brooklyn. Right. I haven't been in Brooklyn since I had to visit my relatives, you know, for holidays. That's great. My folks made it out of Brooklyn, you know, and they made it. They made it into Manhattan.
Was that a big thing?
Oh, God, a big thing.
By the way, women are fascinated with quote-unquote... How many times have we heard this phrase in connection with a divorce? Maintaining the lifestyle to which she has become accustomed.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I'm trying to prevent her becoming too accustomed, but I...
You already did it. You did it. You did it already. Never let them become accustomed to a particular lifestyle.
Well, I guess I just take this as a lesson and I won't let it happen again.
That's what you have to do.
I'm going to pay more attention in class too. I'm quick cutting Thursdays, man. I got to be there.
Now, hang on. Yeah, you got a quick cut in class. No doubt about that. Hang on a second, because we have an experienced individual on the line who knows what she's talking about. She actually once co-hosted 101 with me.
Okay.
Mary with an I. Now, Mary, you hear what Dennis is saying. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
You got your little gold digger on your hands, and what you got to start doing, the first thing you have to do is ignore her. You have to set her up first, though. So, like, not this weekend. You don't need to be taking any of her calls, first of all. So, like, next weekend, plan on taking her out Friday, but you have to call her Thursday and cancel because something came up just really quick. And then Tuesday, because she's going to be calling you all weekend and wondering why you canceled, she's going to be all pissed off. But trust me, Monday, Tuesday, she's going to call you back. and just thought, oh, you know what, something came up Friday, then one of my buddies called me, and we flew to Vegas last minute. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be like, serious, tell her what a good time you had. Anytime a guy tells me he went to Vegas with just his buddies, I automatically think if he had a good time, all they did was just get drunk and go to strip clubs. So trust me, by next Thursday, if you don't get some from her, then I don't know what's wrong with you. You have no game at all.
Fun in Punxsutawney, Phil.
For your information, hairdo, there is a major network interested in me.
Yeah, that would be the Home Shopping Network.
Thanks, Larry. Go wait in the van, will you?
That was nice, Phil.
Big trees.
Stop, Kenny. Look, can you handle the tent or not?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Listen, if for any reason you don't want to rush back, I can do the 5 tomorrow.
Oh, come on. I want to stay an extra second in Punxsutawney, please.
Well, Rita thinks it would be a great idea to stay around for some of the other events, you know, get some incredible footage. The people and the fun, the excitement. You haven't worked with her yet, have you? She's really nice. I think she's going to be a really good producer. You guys are going to have fun.
Mm-mm. She's fun, but not my kind of fun. I will be here for the 5. Rita.
We are all connected.
Understand that terroir, as Neil says here, this is terroir, is, I think, a way to talk about the idea that to defend your personality and your individuality.
This is our place that grows the ball.
And the idea of cultural diversity, cultural distinctiveness, is not a reactionary act. It's not being traditional. It's not slavishly imitating people from the past. It's actually a way, in fact, I don't think there's any way of being progressive or radical or modern without having an understanding of what came before you. And you can't tolerate and express tolerance for diversity unless you understand who you are as an individual. And I think that that idea of terroir is essential.
At that example in my country, we have a tree, a mango tree. It may have 2 different tastes from a mango tree. That the side where the sun come up in the morning tastes different from the side that the sun go down in the afternoon. So that's one thing.
These guys have worked with Neil for about 15 or 20 years.
And the same tree, you may stay over here.
Although they're not major wine drinkers themselves, they told me that they've respected the idea that wine is about pleasure, but for other people, but also about an expression of culture.
Fellow, because of his love for power, his ambition. So love is a powerful force. And it is a theme that moves us every day. Whenever someone says to me, oh, the old fellow, it's just like a soap opera. Well, that's what life is a soap opera.
What an interesting concept it is to eliminate the writer from the artistic process.
We are all connected.
Actors and directors, maybe we got something here.
All emotion is is holographically imprinted chemicals.
The most sophisticated pharmacy in the universe is in here.
There's a part of the brain called the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus is like a little mini factory, and it is a place that assembles certain chemicals that match certain emotions that we experience. Those particular chemicals are called peptides. They're small chain amino acid sequences. The body's basically a carbon unit that makes about 20 different amino acids all together to formulate its physical structure. The body is a protein-producing machine. In the hypothalamus, we take small chain proteins called peptides, and we assemble them into certain neuropeptides or neurohormones that match the emotional states that we experience on a daily basis. So there's chemicals for anger, and there's chemicals for sadness, and there's chemicals for victimization. There's chemicals for lust. There's a chemical that matches every emotional state that we experience. And the moment that we experience that emotional state in our body or in our brain, that hypothalamus will immediately assemble the peptide that then releases it through the pituitary into the bloodstream. The moment it makes it into the bloodstream, it finds its way to different centers or different parts of the body. Now, every single cell in the body has these receptors on the outside.
And one cell can have thousands of receptors studying its surface, kind of opening up to the outside world. And when a peptide docks on a cell, it literally, like a key going into a lock, sits on the receptor surface and attaches to it and kind of moves the receptor, and kind of like a doorbell buzzing, sends a signal into the cell.
The law can't do that. In fact, often it can't, because very often the law is the bare minimum. And to be fully living, fully human beings, we need more than the bare minimum.
And our newspapers are filled with people who do bizarre things in the name of love. I don't suppose I can mention the lady who ran down somebody with her car 7 or 8 times because she was in love.
And Michel Roland brings up a really interesting point here, because wine is also, of course, about the expression of a personality. And I think he's absolutely right to say that wine doesn't exist without the presence of a personality. So that, of course, he must have a style, just as Hubert de Monti has a style. Just as a filmmaker inevitably will put himself into the film. But I think with a film, like with wine, what becomes interesting is a tension between the filmmaker or winemaker's personality and a larger reality, larger than himself. And I think that's also the idea of terroir.
Yeah. Well, imagine what it feels like to be admired all day long.
Really?
Oh, right. You'd rather be completely anonymous?
Not completely anonymous.
Not anonymous.
I myself would welcome the sensation of 100 pair of eyes caressing my booty as I walk along.
You know what? Guys always say that.
You do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. We'd love it if women were always there.
Well, we would. Why?
You would love it if no woman ever listened to a single word you were saying. It just kept her eyes locked on your chest or your crotch. Yeah. Yes, or whatever.
If it led to actually having sex all the time, then no, I would not mind.
Oh, so you could deal with never being heard. You could deal with never being taken seriously.
If I had something that needed saying, I would wait till right after sex.
No, think seriously for a second. Just, you know, stop saying the obvious thing. Think what it would be like if on every bus there were huge pictures of your naked body, right?
Right.
And think, you know, on every billboard, magazine, that's right, it was just about your body. And there was so much time and money and energy was spent obsessing and analyzing and just trying to get a glimpse of your body that pretty soon it felt like the whole world had forgotten about everything else,
right.
And you end up feeling disconnected from your own body, like it's not even yours.
If you're really serious about avoiding the male gaze, if the goal is anonymity...
No.
It's actually a machine behind Michel that is a micro-oxygenation machine. It sends little microscopic bubbles. It creates them and sends them through a little tube into the vat of wine. It softens the tannins, which makes the wine rounder and softer and easier to drink.
Do you wish to register at the Pink Hotel?
You're a loser,
Do you wish
sonny.
To register
First rule in the Pink Hotel game is never talk to a dang lunchworm.
Takes me a little time to figure things out.
Little time? I've played it 1,000 times. Listen, you break the mirror with the champagne bottle, you yell, Yahoo! And you go straight to the devil's bridal suite. Get it? Simple as that. Right. Next stop is Boner City.
Look, I'm doing all right, okay? Existence for me is just one controlled fall after another.
Oh, that's cute. You must be dumb. 450 points and you're a philosopher. Do you ever think about death?
Look, old-timer, just back off me, all right?
Wait a minute. Don't leave me. Listen, buy me beer. I can get rid of that halfling for you and take you right to the Rain Queen.
I told you I played it my way.
Buy me a beer. If I don't drink beer regular, I achieve real high powers of irritability.
Here's a little suggestion, okay?
Putting on makeup, styling your hair, wearing a killer outfit, and coming to a place like this on a Friday night.
Well, you see that's when it gets interesting, because at a certain point you start internalizing
male gaze.
Don't even hear your own voice.
Madison Avenue, fucking patriarchy, whatever it is, it's done its number. And do you think you actually have any control over who you find attractive?
Of course we do.
I think not, and I'll prove it to you, okay? Ask any woman, what is the single most attractive quality a man can possess, and what do they invariably answer?
Sense of humor.
Well, sense of humor is huge. Definitely.
Sense of humor. And yet, if two lean, mean, play by their own rules, motorcycle riding men strolled up to this booth and beat the shit out of us two humorous guys, right? Right? And asked you out for a ride on their choppers, you would be weak at the knees. Weak at the knees.
No. Well, actually, guys who ride cycles are pretty sexy.
Thank you. You see? The fact is that touchy-feely, weepy, in touch with their feelings guys make you sick. You're repulsed by
them.
Give me the Ice Age, okay? Survival of the fittest. No mixed signals, no bullshit, just the meanest, hairiest, bastard wins.
Okay, let's change the subject right now.
You know, it's interesting. All this looking is so, you know, so masculine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, you guys are just about the visuals.
Well.
No, really. Why is it that when I'm going down on a guy,
Sophie?
No, really. Truly.
Oh.
Why is it that when I'm doing my thing, you know, why is it that men always insist on watching? Why can't you just close your eyes and concentrate on the feeling? I mean, it's not the most flattering activity for a woman.
I'm not sure that's. Well, maybe we can help. Nick, jump in here. Woman is doing her thing. Why do we have to watch?
Separation sequencer disconnected.
They're very interesting. I like them.
Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. Where do you shop? Gallery, what gallery? Who's your dealer?
I don't have a dealer. I couldn't sell these. They're never finished. Vicky?
Oh, thanks. They're never finished.
No, they're just what I do for myself, what I feel. You ask lots of questions, Mr. Mill. And just like the police, that's all they did, ask questions. They asked me a lot about you.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. How long we've known each other, if you'd ever been to the house before.
Well, I suppose they have to ask those questions.
I don't see why.
Because that's what police do.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why was it so important to see David that night? What was so urgent?
Well, he pitched me a story a few months ago.
Japan story,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Japan story. I liked it at the time, but it needed work, especially the ending. And I was sitting in my office that day, and it suddenly occurred to me how to make the ending work.
So, what was it?
What?
Your idea for the ending.
Up.
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 What does that mean?
As opposed to down. Moods.
Oh.
You know, happy as opposed to sad, hopeful as opposed to depressing. What did you think of his ending?
I never read it.
You never read it?
Nope. I don't like reading.
Do you like books?
I like words and letters. I'm not crazy about complete sentences. So what did he think?
He walked out on me, actually. I don't think David liked me very much.
I think he just didn't like happy endings. Put your face here.
Great. What are you doing? You're not going to paint me, are you?
I might put you in one of my paintings. There's one that I want to do of an Icelandic hero. He's a thief. He's made of fire. But you might not like that.
Why not?
Because you're in the movies, and in the movies you can't have thieves as heroes, can you?
I don't know about that. We have a long tradition of gangsters in the movies.
Oh, yes, but they always have to suffer for their crimes, don't they?
Well, we should pay for our crimes, shouldn't we?
I don't know. I think knowing that you've committed a crime is suffering enough. If you don't suffer, maybe it wasn't a crime after all. Anyway, what difference does it make? It has nothing to do with how things really are.
You don't really believe that, do you?
I don't know what I believe, Mr. Milt. It's just what I feel.
You know what you are, June, whatever your name is? You're a pragmatic anarchist.
Is that what I am?
That's what you are.
I never was sure.
I guess one of the ironies of Robert Parker's position in the wine world is that he set out at the beginning of his career as a consumer advocate to try and expose the power structure, the existing power structure at the time, this is in the late 70s, early 80s really, and try and challenge the traditional Bordeaux power structure. What's interesting is that he ended up replacing one power structure with another, with his own.